Good evening. Glad to see one Willis this evening. Glad to have Brother Dunny back with us. Glad to see him back. You've been on the wrong diet, he said. He don't like that diet. It's over with, though, bro. All right, we got a few announcements, not announcements, but requests here, so we'll go over them. Brother Dean had surgery today on his back, had to remove a disc and a few other things. He's doing okay, so still remember him. Sister Angie Brown had a special request. My little grandson Ace is sick with a virus. He's been running a fever, so remember him. And remember Zach's girlfriend Anna Gailey is, she's traveling. She'll be traveling back from New York tomorrow, so remember that. Also, Trudy Mack called me and said that she, she didn't get in a wreck, but she got behind a wreck and closed the road down. So she turned around and went back. So she'll be watching in tonight, but so just remember her. So just, and also, let's see, Brother Rhino gave me one that says, thank the Lord that all went well with my dad's hip replacement surgery. Thank you for all your continued prayer and for his full recovery. So we thank the Lord for that. Brother Donnie gave me three here. It says, Brother Donnie, is that Askins?
Asking prayer for my wife
and family.
No, it's for Tim Wisnot. We prayed, asked prayer for him. Had brain surgery.
Okay.
For seizures, and 8 or 9 months ago, she was doing great. Took her off all the medication. The Lord had touched her, and then she went back out, and she had another seizure the other day. Really shocking.
Amen. Just remember that. Also, Melinda Gorman. Surgery has been a problem for the last 2 years. There must be going to be some more surgery tomorrow. Is that what it's saying? So just remember that situation. Also, Brother Mark has a summer cold, so remember him. Let's see. Anna gave me one. Anna Roberts says, Cindy Siggers, we've been praying for. Remember her with cancer. Also, a little boy that is in kindergarten was in a bad accident this morning right there on 441, and he's not doing well, and they're just considering that he's, you know, maybe brain dead. So just remember that situation in the family. So remember that. Susan gave me one, says, remember her mom, she fell every day last week. So just remember that. Continue blessing and continue her, bless her. Also, remember Brother Aaron will be preaching. I know he's not here yet, or he just got here because I see Adam back there and Levi, so he's here, but just remember him as we pray also. Amen. I know we all have unspoken requests. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you for letting us come out this evening, Lord. Lord, be with the ones that are traveling. We've mentioned here, remember Anna will be traveling. Be with her. Bless her. Lord, be with all the others that are sick. We've mentioned many people that are sick, Lord. Remember Ace and Brother Dean and Sister Angie Brown's request, Lord, and Brother Donnie's request for those three people, Lord. Just come down and bless them. And Sister Susan's mom. Lord, we just continue to bless the people. Cindy Siggers, Lord, and the little fellow that's been in that bad accident. And I know his aunt's also not doing well either. So just remember those situations, Lord. Be with us all and bless us. Be with the rest of the service. Give her Brother Aaron, Lord, the strength to bless us all tonight, Lord. And we love you for your many blessings and forgive us for all of our sins. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. You can be seated.
I'm in the red book this evening,
number 80.
There's a blessed time that's coming soon. It may be evening, morning, or at noon. Wedding of the bride, united with we shall see the King when he comes. We shall see the King. We shall see the King. We shall see the King when he comes. He's coming in his hour. Oh, hail the blessed hour. We shall see the King when he comes. shall see the King when he comes. We shall see the King. We shall see the King. We shall see the King when he comes. He's coming in power. Oh, hail the blessed hour. We shall see the King when he comes. Oh, my brother, are you ready for the call to crown your Savior King and Lord? Shall soon before him fall. We shall see the King when he comes. We shall see the King. We shall see the King. We shall see the King when he comes. He's coming in power. Oh, hail the blessed hour. We shall see the King when he comes.
Amen. Let's stand as we go to 171, the uncloudy day. Amen.
Oh, they tell me of a home far beyond the skies. Oh, they tell me of a home far away. Oh, they tell me of a home where no storm clouds rise. Oh, they tell me of an uncloudy day. Oh, the land of cloudless days. Oh, the land of an uncloudy sky. Oh, they tell me of a home where mignon. Oh, they tell me of a home where my friends have gone. Oh, they tell me of a land far away, where the tree of life in eternal bloom sheds its fragrance of the shall be home, where he sits on a throne that is whiter than snow, in that city that is made of gold. Oh, the land of cloudless days. Oh, the land of an uncloudy sky.
We pray for Brother Mark. He's not with us. Amen. 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 You may be seated.
Amen.
My heavenly home is bright and fair. I feel like traveling on. Nor pain nor death can enter. I feel like traveling on. Yes, I feel like traveling. Be a great possession. Amen. I am thinking of a rapture in that blessed home on high when the redeemed are gathering in. I will sing the heavenly anthem in that city in the sky when the redeemed are gathering in. Like snow, every false sin. I will shout, I will sing. When the redeemed, let's all stand, let's let them play a verse here. Let's do it. Put your hands together. I will shout, I will sing when the dream are gathering in. There will be a great procession over on the streets of gold when the dream are gathering.
just like snow every full sea. I will shout, I will sing when we redeemed.
Then we're going to sing. Saints.
Glory. Saints will sing redemption story with their voices clear and strong when we redeemed are gathering in. When the redeemed are gathering in, oh, when the redeemed are gathering in, I'm washed like snow and free from all sin. I will shout, I will sing, when the redeemed are then the Savior, amen. Then the Savior.
This is the time to the gathering in. It was the time that the word went out. The prophet said, then it turned, and it's time for it to come back. So it's time to return, right? Amen. Good to see everybody in the house of the Lord. Just remember now, Bible study, Saturday, 6 o'clock. We'll pray for that. Remember, the fellowship meeting will be the third Saturday in May at Brother Pageant's. So we'll pray for that and be making your plans and all to go. It'll be 3:30 in the afternoon on Saturday. So remember that. Any other announcements we need to make? All right, let's just sing, Open the Eyes of My Heart, as Brother Aaron comes to minister the word of the Lord unto us. Yeah. Open the eyes of my heart. Open the eyes of my heart. I want to see you. I want of my heart, Lord. Open the eyes of my heart. I want to see.
Glory.
I want to see you. To see you high and lifted up, shining in the light of your glory. Sing holy, holy, holy. I'm lifted up, shining in the light of your glory. Pour out your power and love as we sing holy, holy, holy.
Bless you. Good to be in the house of the Lord tonight.
Amen.
Amen. Appreciate the Lord and all His blessings. Amen. So, no, I'm not going to sing. People wait on me. Some folks, they don't wait on. We all have our gifts, right? Amen. Good to be in the house of the Lord.
Amen.
And may everybody have a good week this week.
Amen.
So far, so good. Well, I told him, I said, well, I know one thing. I've fought the devil, so.
Yeah.
So I told Brother Bob, I said, either we're going to have a good service tonight or it'll fall flat. It'll be one or the other. I don't know. But, you know, I just told him, I said, well, I feel like giving the devil a black eye.
Yeah.
Right. You know, the devil want to fight me all the time. Right. You know, I'm going to give it back to him tonight.
Right. Exactly.
So that's kind of what I want to speak on tonight. And let's go to the Lord in prayer and open up. And then we'll go to very, very familiar scripture, Mark chapter 16. And I entitled this, Power to Cast Out All the Powers of the Enemy.
Amen.
Because, you know, we do have the power.
Right.
But, you know, I was reading where Brother Branham said, the church doesn't need the power. Mm. Said it needs the faith to operate
right.
the power.
Exactly right.
And that's what we need. We need to have that faith.
Amen. Right. Glory.
Amen. God bless you. Let's all just bow our heads tonight. Speak to the Lord. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you. Another, Lord, we thank you for just allowing us to be back in your house, Lord, and just to feel your presence. And we just pray that you just come tonight. Lord, help us get out of the way. Lord, just speak to each heart and each life. Lord, you know, Lord, what we have need of. Lord, it's not what I have in my notes or whatever. But Lord, you just come and speak through, just be a yielded vessel, Lord Jesus, just open. Lord, just like a microphone or a, Lord, as Brother Ram said, talking about a microphone, Lord, there has to be someone to come and speak, Lord, because it's totally mute. And Lord, we just pray tonight that you come and speak. Lord, help us just get out of the way, Lord. Anoint the ears to hear, Lord Jesus. Lord, I've done all that I can do. I know the people have done all that they can do, Lord, but it takes you now to come and put it all together. And Lord, we just commit it all to you. And Lord, for each need that's represented tonight, Lord, each hand, Lord, each spoken request, Lord, you know the need. And Lord, we just pray that you come on the scene. And Lord, just bless the bride around the world. And Lord, we just commit all these things to you in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Mark 16 and verse 14. It says, afterward he appeared unto the 11 as they sat at meat and upbraided them with their unbelief and hardness of heart because they believed not them which had seen him after he was risen. And he said unto them, go ye in all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believeth not shall be damned. And these signs shall follow them that believe. In my name shall they cast out devils. They shall speak with new tongues. They shall take up serpents, and if they drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them. They shall lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover. So then after the Lord had spoken unto them, he was received up into heaven and sat on the right hand of God.
Amen.
Now we'll go to Luke chapter 10, verse 19. And Jesus says, behold, I give unto you power to tread on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy. Nothing shall by any means hurt you.
Glory.
Amen. God bless you tonight and be seated. I feel like I've been in a whirlwind. But you know, that's the way it goes sometimes. The life of a Christian, you know, we don't understand why things happen the way they do, but the Bible tells us that all things work together for the good to them that love the Lord, who are the called according to his purpose. So we don't understand the purpose behind everything, but you know what? It all works out in the end. And so, you know, I lost my laptop, and so it's been real fun to try to study. And they also stole my SD card out of my tablet. They didn't steal the tablet, but they stole the SD card out of it. Hey, they, like I said, they opened the console of the truck. They moved the tablet. Yeah. They had to open the case to pull the slide the tablet out to get the card out. left the pistol in the floorboard. But you know, they took all that. I thought, you know, it's so interesting. I had all those sermons that are on that SD card, and they took it. Had the laptops, got all the message and everything, and they took it. But they left the other stuff. Well, maybe that's what we said the other day. Maybe they'll get saved. Maybe somebody, well, maybe there's a lot out there. Maybe the word's come to somebody. You know, there's like that man overseas. He found half of message book, the bottom half of the message book, because somebody had used the other half. And the bottom half of it had Voice of God's address on it. And he wrote, because he could only read half the book, but the half that he had was just so amazing what Brother Branham said in that bottom half of that book, that he had to write to Voice of God so he could get some more word, because that just stirred him up. Because the half hadn't been told, but he got enough in the half that just thrilled him just in that one half. So I tell you what, you know, and we have you know 1,200 sermons. You know, we ought to be overjoyous and just overfilled because of what we have. But you know, in the beginning, Brother Branham says, this is from the message, Queen of Sheba. And Brother Branham says, talking about the great things, he says, the Bible says in the last days that the angels would turn themselves into ministers of light. He said, look at the very first sin that was ever performed was Satan wanted a greater, a brighter kingdom, a great thing, and went over in the north and set up his own kingdom to outshine Michael. It's always those bright things. So that was the first one. And then Brother Branham says, in Christ the mystery, he said, the first thing that Lucifer done to separate the fellowship of God and man, he wanted to build a united kingdom, a greater splendor and seemingly more cultured, a greater kingdom than Michael Christ had. He said, Lucifer at the beginning, his purpose in heart was to achieve a brighter and greater thing in heaven than Christ had. Is that right? By seemingly a more cultured, more beautiful, more splendor than the kingdom of Christ. And you know, he had a perfect place because he was placed by God in the place that he was supposed to be. But you know, he decided he had to have something greater. He thought he could be bigger and have more than what God had given him. And that's the reason that he was cast out, because he rose up and said, you know, that I'm going to make myself higher than God. I'm going to make my kingdom higher. And you know, Brother Ryan said he had more cultured, a greater, a bigger, a brighter thing than what God was. But you know, God is the God of light, and there's nothing that's ever going to be greater, nothing ever going to be brighter than God. But you know, Satan had this great idea of what he was going to do and become bigger. But you know, in the process of him raising up and going against God, you know, he was cast out.
Right.
You know, he did not hold his first estate, and even Jude tells us about the angels that held not their first estate. You know, they're held until the time to be cast out.
Right.
Because, you know, they're turned over for damnation. But, you know, there's a time, you know, those that didn't hold their first estate. And, you know, here they are. They raise up to this to do this great thing. But, you know, Satan did not hold his first place, and he was cast out. And, you know, he never can get back to the place that he was. But, you know, as many times as Satan has went forth, he's tried to come back, and he's tried to overcome the work of God and everything. And all the way down through history, we see that even from the beginning, you know, because he went from there and then he went into the serpent. Brother, I said he went into the serpent and he went to Eve, and you know, he started trying to get into the human race and, you know, caused all the problems. But you know, the thing is the devil thinks he's got something working, but the problem is he doesn't know he's right in the hands of God. That it's going to be the victory of God that's going to take place. It's, you know, so he's already been defeated from the beginning, and no matter what he does, he's always defeated. He'll always be defeated. He's never had a victory. And every time he thinks he's got something, you know, because every time that he raises up and he thinks he's got something, then you know what? It always miserably fails.
Amen.
Just like when Jesus was in the tomb, you know, there on the cross, and he thought, you know, here he is, this man that claims to be the Son of God, to be God manifested in flesh, and here he is. And you know, now I'm going to have him right where I want him. He's going to be in the grave and you know, he's not going to raise anymore. And you know, he'll just pass on and then he'll leave me alone. And you know, I'll have this great victory over him. And you know, he sat there in that time and he laid in the tomb, but he did not realize that, you know, that when Jesus went down there, you know, then he went and preached to those that were lost in prison. And then he went and went to paradise and he went by and he saw those that had lived in the light, had lived what they had saw all the way down through history. There was Abraham and Sarah and Isaac and all the other ones and, you know, Ezekiel and all the ones there, because, you know, when he came by, Abraham said, "That's the one that we ate calf with, that we sat under the tree, and he was the one that spoke to me and told me when I was in my death that my body was dead. I couldn't have children. Yet he was the one that come and told me that I would have a son, that, you know, when everything looked impossible, he was the one that said it's all possible." Why? Because if you can believe, it'll come to pass. You know, it didn't even consider, you know, what Abraham had to say. It was the word of God that was given. And you know, there was Ezekiel sitting there and speaking, and he said, "And there's the wheel in the middle of the wheel. There he is in manifestation." The Hebrew children said, "There was the one that come walked in the fiery furnace with. There he is." And you know, he come up out of the grave and he stood there and, you know, and he told He told him and said, "And now I have the keys of death and hell." He don't even have keys to his own house. He's absolutely powerless. Why? Because everything he's tried to do, I've taken the power away from him. He's absolutely powerless. The scripture tells us that every power is permitted of God. And so, you know, and so everything that comes and goes has to be permitted by God to allow. So whatever he does, he's only allowed to do it because God allows him to do it. Because he has to work according to the laws of God. And you know, the thing is you and I have to work the same way. And the only power that Satan ever has is the power that you give him. You know, we've been listening to the seals, you know, the young people, and you know, we were talking about Satan being a bluff. You know, he's just a bluff. You know, the Antichrist went riding out with his bow, but you give him the arrows. You know, he was just a bluff. You know, and Jesus said there in Matthew 24, he said, "Do not be deceived by any means." Why? Because, you know, he's a bluff, but he's there to deceive you. He's trying to pull a fast one on you. But, you know, he has no power. And the thing is you have to believe that. We give him the arrows. We give him, why? Because the words that we speak are spirit and life, and we're the ones that arm the devil against us. Why? Because it's just like we have to stand fortified behind the word. And if we're not fortified behind the word to take every fiery dart of the enemy, you know what? Because if we don't, then he wins. But I'm so glad that I have been given the power. You know, it doesn't matter what comes my way or what goes, because God has made a provision for me. You know, Brother Brandon was talking about, and y'all have to forgive me this afternoon, but you know, Brother Brandon was talking about, you know, what is the problem with people? And what is going on? Because, you know, God done all that he could. And you know, when he rose from the dead, and then he told the disciples, you know, here I'm giving you this power. And you know, they went out and they had this power, and you know, it's not that, you know, it just went to Peter and Paul and the 12 and, you know, the 120, but you know, the power was, and the promise was made unto everyone that believes. Right. If you believe, then the power's unto you, because the promises in the Bible are to those that believe. Yeah, right. Whatever God promised is, you take him at his word, because whatever he promised to one person, then he has to fulfill it with everybody. Right. If you meet the same conditions, if you're on the same qualifications to meet the same, then he has to honor his word. And so, you know, if we look back to what the great things that happened in the past, and you know, we think of all these different things, but you know what? It's the same God today. But you know, the thing is you've got to have the same faith to meet God at the same requirements on the same ground, and he'll do the same thing for you. If we can do the same thing. You know, because, you know, so many people talk about, oh, how wonderful it was way back when. But you know what? There's a lot of people that wouldn't want to go live back then. You know, there's so many people that, you know, they talk about, well, God had a great move back then. Well, you know, life was a lot different back then. You know, there's a lot of people that, you know, in my job, you know, if the temperature changes 2 degrees, I hear about it. You know, you can have all kinds of air conditioners running, but boy, I tell you what, if it just gets a little bit or the humidity goes up just a little bit, they're calling me. I gotta go look at it. And lots of times, there's nothing even wrong with it. They're just calling to complain, and I go look at it. It's like, I just walk through. It's like, hey, I'm looking at the thermostat. It's exactly where it's set. It's working like it's supposed to be. I don't know what the problem is. I go on the roof, and I look at them. I lay hands on the machines, and I say, air conditioning's running. But people will complain. But you know what? How many of y'all would like to go back to the days when, you know, there wasn't anything like that?
Right.
You know, there was a time that when Mr. Carrier hadn't even come up with the idea, even had the concept of air conditioning.
Right. Yeah.
Hadn't even come up with the idea of refrigeration. The only kind of refrigeration that people had was cutting ice off of the lake and storing it up. You know, there's a lot of things that people, we go back and look, you know, and, you know, all the way through life, all the comforts that we have now. But you know, there was a time people didn't have those things.
Right.
You know, I think about Susanna Wesley raising 17 children and spending time and praying with each one of them and trying to take care of them. You had to build a fire in the stove to cook food. And lots of times they were raising it or you were hunting for it. And now everybody, you know, the first thing that comes to mind is, hey, we're just going to whip through the drive-thru.
Yeah, that's right. Amen. Right.
Everything's instant.
Yes, sir.
You know, and it's just like Brother Bram said, we got more conveniences, we've got more modern technology and everything, and we got less time for God than we ever had.
Amen.
Why? Because that's the plan of Satan is to take up your time with nonsense, with things that don't matter. But you know, people who spend all their time, you know, the biggest thing that everybody happens is the first thing is, you know, they have their phones and it's so funny at work. And I know y'all probably never see anything like this before, but, you go to work and you see people standing in the corners. Do y'all know what that? You're working on an assembly line and everything like that, and people walk by, and they're watching for the bosses, and they're going. Or they go stand over in a corner somewhere. And everybody's like, hey, do you know what happened on the news? What happened? This happened, that happened. You know, first thing everybody's got to tell you about what's going on, what the scores are, everything, you know, everybody. Why? Because everybody has to be fed by that. Instant gratification, because everybody's got to know everything. We got to have our pulse on the world. Everything that's going on in the world. You know, every time, what person bought, you know, this person's wearing or where they went and all these different things. And everybody's got to know. And you know, everybody's got, and got people at work and you know, they're checking the stock market and they want to know what their 401k is doing, how much they got invested in this and that, and they got to know what's going on here and they got to know what's going on there, what's going to take place over in the world. And you know, and it's like, well, guess what? I'm going to tell you up front and give you the headlines ahead of time. All that you see and all that you hold is all going to get burned up.
Yeah.
It's all going away.
Amen.
So you can put all your faith and all your housing and all your money, but there'll be a day that it won't be worth anything and it won't even exist. There'll be, you know what? There won't be any more cars. There won't be any more air conditioning. There won't be any more lights. There won't be any more of those things. Why? Because it'll all be done away with. But people spend all their time in, you gotta stay on top of all this stuff. And then, you know, everybody gets wrapped up in entertainment and all these other things. And they're just so bound by things that have absolutely no worth in this world at all. I preached one time and I was telling everybody, you know, you got all these people that are so wrapped up in sports. And you know, everywhere they go, they gotta have their, sports team. They gotta have everything covered up. You know, we have this thing at work now on Fridays, everybody gets to wear their sports team. That you can wear your jerseys and your hats and everything. Well, you know, everybody gotta come in from head to toe in sports stuff. Everybody got to tell you what team they're for and who they're rooting for. And you know, and they get people get in these great big arguments over because the NBA finals or whatever are going on right now. You know, everybody's playing about pro ball and you know, this one's going on and this one's getting by with that. And this one's, you know, the refs are hard on this team and you know, they're just arguing over stuff. And it's like, it don't matter. But you know, you got some people, they're so wrapped up that, you know, they won't never go anywhere unless, you know, I was preaching at Brother Gene Williams' church one time, and I was, you know, everybody's orange up there. Boy, they're Clemson fans. You know, I said, you go up through there, and you got people up there, and they got big tiger tails hanging off the back of their car. They won't go nowhere with a tiger tail hanging off the back of the car, and they got to let everybody know that they're a Clemson fan. Got to wear the orange and the purple, and they got to have a big tiger paw on everything, and they got to have everything just so. And, you know, they just can't leave home without their orange. But they're, you know, and then you got people that are Alabama. They got to have that A. And you know, there was a man that drove an RV that was an Alabama fan, and I told him that he was so addicted to the Crimson Tide that if the Alabama played on the moon, he'd drive that RV to the moon. He'd be on the moon up there because he would have to root for Alabama because that's where they're playing ball. You know, some people are so addicted to stuff, and you know, they get so wrapped up in this, and it just consumes their whole life. But you know what? You try to talk to them about a living God that came down, that spoke out of nothing. He spoke everything into existence, and you know what? He wants to come and talk to you, and wants to bring you eternal life, and wants to make your life worth living. He wants to touch you and minister to you in a special way, and you know what? They ain't got time for it. I ain't got time for it. You know, if we could just see, as Brother Branham said, if we could see into that other realm, if we could see into that other dimension to see what's going on. We look and see, boy, it's so pretty, it's so pretty. But you know, if we actually could see in that other realm, you know what? We wouldn't touch things with a 10-foot pole. Why? Because the spirits that are on things, the spirits that are around things, we wouldn't touch them. We wouldn't want to have anything to do with them. But you know, Brother Branham said, if we could see in that other realm, we would see that he said that the angels are walking up and down the aisles of the church. The angels are here. Why? Because he said that he would be where two or three are gathered in my name. He said, there I'll be in the midst. He said, the angels of God are here. He said, why? Because they're ministering spirits. And he said, what are they come to do? He said, they come to minister to you. See, sometimes we just think, well, it's just come because, you know, it's just going to be Brother Dale and he's just going to sit here and he's just going to read us some quotes. But you know what? If we could look beyond this realm and look beyond the flesh, you know what? We could see Almighty God trying to speak to us. You know, it's, you know, because sometimes we get wrapped up in the veil. We get wrapped up in the flesh, you know, because, you know, this person doesn't preach a certain way, or this person that preaches that we don't like this person the way they present things or whatever. You know, the thing is, if we could get beyond that, if we could get in the same spirit, then you know what? God could speak to us, and it's not looking at flesh, it's not looking at people, but you know what? Well, we hear from Almighty God. See, I just don't want a church service just to be a church service. Because, you know, we could just make it and just come and sit and go home. Just go through the motions. And you know what? And then, and you know what? In the end, we're not even closer to God than we was when we came. We don't get anything from God. But you know what? If we come here and expect God to come on the scene, if we come expecting, you know, it's just like when Friday rolls around, you know, everybody expects to get their paycheck. Or whatever time of the month the government decides to send you your money. You know, the thing is, you know, I thank God people are getting money from the government. You know why? Because if you spent 40 or 50 years paying in, I think you ought to get something back. People act like you, like the government's giving you something. No, the government's taking your money all these years and used it. For all kind, and some of it's absolute foolishness. You ain't got no, you got nothing to show for it. And now you're trying to get some of your money back. And they act like they're doing you a favor. But you know, the thing is if we get something, you know, when we come, we expect to get money. Well then you know what? If we, you know, because you know what? If your check don't make it in the bank on Friday, you're calling somebody. Hey, it's supposed to hit the bank at midnight. If it ain't there, we're looking for it. But you know what? We don't do that in the house of God. You know, some people don't even show up. Well, if you don't show up, you know, it's just like saying, hey, you know what? I don't care if the company gives me my money or not. But you know, people would get out there and you know, they're looking for their money. Well, you know, the thing is, if you come to the house of God expecting it the same way, you know what? There's people, they pay a lot of money to Amazon and all these other companies. You know what? And they expect their packages. They look on their phone and it says, hey, you know, your package got delivered. Well, you know, when they get home, they expect the package to be on the front door. Well, you know what? If it don't show up, you know what? They're out there calling, hey, where's my package? Well, you know what? If you come to the house of God and you were looking for God to speak to you, you know, and you come in and say, well, Lord, here I am. I said, why didn't you spoke to me? Well, you know, sometimes the reason is because God never turns you away empty unless you're full of yourself. But sometimes the problem is, you know, just like when we had that prayer line there in Louisiana for the young people, you know, when you go before God and you start praying and there's a problem, you know what? God's obligated to come and speak to you to find out what the problem is. Maybe it's you. Maybe there's something that, maybe there's unconfessed sin. Maybe there's something you've got ought against somebody or whatever. Something needs to be straightened out. But you know what? If you get before God, God will tell you what the problem is. Let's get before God and find out what the problem is. You know, God told Joshua to go into the land and set the people in order, and they went in and he said, you know what? Nothing is going to stand before you. Nothing stands before you. You're going to go right in and take the land. But you know, the first time they lost the land, God called a halt. Joshua called a halt. Told him, you got to stop. He said, we're going to find out where the sin is. You know what? People don't want that in their lives. People don't want somebody to come speak to them and tell them what their problem is. Why? Because, see, they hold on to some kind of little something that they've held on for years and they don't want to get rid of it. And they think they want to be free, but they don't. If they don't want to be free, then you know, God can't help you. But you know, God can tell you what your problem is and then you've got to react to it. You've got to make your decision whether you're going to change it or not. But you know, when Joshua called a halt to find out what the problem was, you know, and then when they found out where Achan had stolen the Babylonian garment and the gold, you know, there it was. There was the sin. You know what? And it worked all the way through until it come right down to Achan. Right. And Achan finally confessed, you know, I'm the one. Right. I wasn't supposed to touch any of that stuff. Right. It's cursed. God didn't want us to have anything. But you know what? I coveted this. And I took it. And you know what? Then it caused the death of all those men. And then because when the death came into camp, then you know what the sentence was? Death. You know what? They didn't kill, they didn't just kill Achan. They killed his whole family. They killed everything. They destroyed everything the man ever had. They were trying to destroy every semblance and every remembrance of him. Why? Because they want to get that completely out of the camp. And the thing is, you know, we don't need to have any, abstain from every appearance of evil. Make sure we try to stay far away as we can of anything that even remotely looks like a problem. Some people grab a hold of something and it's like, well, this won't be a problem. This won't be a problem. Just that little, like that little story of the man finding the rattlesnake. And it was almost froze to death and he brought it in the house. Well, he was so afraid that thing was going to die, he brought it in the house and left it. Won't let it warm up. And next thing you know, the thing bit him.
And he's like, I can't believe you met me after I brought you in here and warmed you up, saved your life. He said, you knew what it was when you brought me through the door. He said, I only done exactly what I am. I'm a snake and I bit you. Well, if you're going to play with the world, then guess what? You end up with, and it's the same thing. You end up with the same kind of thing. You give a place to the devil. The scripture says we're not even supposed to give him a place to the devil. But you know, if he does, then you know what? He just steps right through the door. Well, thank you very much. I think I will. And then we wonder why the devil's causing problems in our lives. Well, because you let him come in. You know, everybody's like, well, we're going to put him in this little box right here. We let you have this little box right here. You can stay right here. Nope. Like they say, you give him an inch, he takes a mile. The next thing you know is like, why did it happen? Well, you open the door. Because lots of times we think, well, you know, I can handle this. I can handle it. I can handle this. No, you can't. You can't handle it. You gotta get fortified behind the word and follow exactly what the word says. Because, you know, there's a lot of people that, as Brother Branham said in Birth Pains, he said there's a lot of people, they only sympathize with the word. He said they sympathize with it, but he said they don't die out to it. He said they don't get behind the word, they sympathize with it. He said that's the reason why we don't have many genuine new births is because people want to sympathize with it. You know, because, you know, well, I think it's right and I'll try to go along with it the best I can. No, you're an utter failure. The problem is you gotta go by the word, and the thing is the word requires a death. Because you know what? There's a sacrifice that has to be made, and the thing is to receive that sacrifice, there's gotta be a death. And you know what it is? It's the death of you and I. It has to be a death of the old man. The old Aaron Roberts has to be gone. There can't be any part of him. There can't be any resemblance of him, semblance, nothing. It's all gotta be gone. And the old man's got to be gone. Why? Because Christ can come in. But you know the problem is that's what's always going to be warring against us is because we've not allowed him to come in and take complete control.
Right.
To absolutely kill us.
True.
Destroy the all parts of the old man.
Yeah.
All effects of the old man. And then he can come in. Why? Because then it's no longer I'm living, but Christ living in me.
Yeah.
I want him living in me.
Amen.
Let him come on the scene.
Amen.
Brother Bram said, there's a lot of people that, you know, they just want to have a carnal understanding or a concept that, you know, they want to have this, mental concept of what's going on,
right.
You know, and you know, everybody is so starchy and all these type things, and you know, because they want to have this great intellectual understanding, but you know, Brother Branham said, you know, that's the problem. He said, the problem is, he said, they're trying to bypass the new birth. He said they're trying to go around the new birth, and he said that's the problem is they got to come back. He said why? Because they're scared of it. He said they're scared of new birth. Why? Because what it takes place? Why? Because it takes a death.
Right.
He said why? Because the new birth is a mess.
Amen. Right.
And people don't want to come to a mess and they don't want to die out. Why? Because it messes up their way of living.
Yeah.
Why? Because you know what? Because you got to get rid of everything.
Yeah.
But see, sometimes, you know, people, they have these concepts of what really takes place. But, you know, there was a teacher, I don't know, some of y'all probably read the story about the teacher that, you know, she wanted all the students to write on potatoes every problem, and everybody that's insulted them or hurt them or anything like that, you write it on a potato and stick it in your bag.
Yeah.
All their grudges were written on a potato and stuck it in the bag. Anybody read this story? Has anybody heard it? Nobody. Okay. Well, good. Well, they started putting all this stuff down. Well, you know, everybody that harmed them got it on that potato, stuck it in the bag.
Sure.
The teacher said, okay, from now on, you got to carry that bag everywhere you go.
Yeah.
You got to put it beside your desk, and you can sit it beside your bed. But you carry that thing everywhere. So you know what? They started carrying them sacks around everywhere they went. Well, you know what happened after a while? Them things started rotting.
Yeah.
And you know what? It became big bags of slimy goo.
Yeah.
And they started carrying it around. Mm-hmm. And you know what? And some of those kids, after a while, they got tired of carrying those bags of goo. Because you know what? They like to be footloose and fancy free.
Yeah.
But here I am carrying this nasty bag around.
Yeah.
And then everybody keeps looking at them. It's like, why are you carrying this bag?
Yeah,
well, you know, I'm carrying this bag because I want to. And after a while, she finally told him, and she said, see, this is what happens when you hold grudges. When you let memories influence your life. When you let all of these things that have built up over time, it just becomes this great big bag of nasty goo, and you carry it around. And you know what? You and I have the same problem. If we allow sin, and if we allow our past to get in our way, we're carrying that stinky, nasty bag of goo around with us. While we have somebody that wants to relieve us of that bag. Why? Because all of that can be put under the blood. But you know what? We will still carry that thing around. Why? Because the problem is you think you can hold a grudge against somebody. Well, I'm going to get them. No, you know what? You're carrying it on, all of that weight on yourself. And you know what? You're not bothering them. If I got a grudge against Brother Dale, you know what? It won't bother him. Because I'm the one toting the grudge. I got the chip. I got to deal with it. But you know what the thing is? If we come to church, you know, we can get rid of that. Why? Because, you know, what are you holding on to that you think that's going to benefit you? What is it that you're holding on that you're going to get something out of? But you know what? The devil wants you to carry around your nasty bag of goo. Why? Because he's the one that tried to give it to you. And you know what? Somewhere along the way, you agreed to it. You thought it was a good idea. And people have held on to stuff for so long, and they've allowed the devil to whip them and beat them and hold them down, and they stay around oppressed, and they don't even realize that the grace of God has come to relieve you of all of that.
Amen. 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 Come on, brother. Amen.
Now I'm going to get to my point sometime. People want to know, well, how does this have to do with getting rid of demons? Well, that's what it is. We're carrying around, people carry around things like, well, they say, well, you know what? My daddy had a temper and I got a temper. And they say, well, this, I got, you know what? My grandfather had diabetes. My dad's got diabetes. My uncles, everybody's got diabetes. So you know what? I got to have it too. Well, you know what? I'm going to testify tonight. You know, every time they tested my blood, I ain't never had diabetes. They say, well, you might have diabetes. I was like, well, I don't. They say, well, you're pre-diabetic. No. Well, you know what? If I'm pre-diabetic, you know what that means? I don't have it. That means that the devil is trying to circle around. But he ain't got here yet.
Amen.
And you know what? They've tested me one time and said, well, it's up and it's down. It's up, it's down. But you know what? They ain't never been to anybody come along and said, you got to take these little pills. And you know what? I mean, it's all the same. Whether it's heart disease or whatever it is that you know, that you come through your family, whether it's cancer or whatever else. You know, just like Brother Rand said, do you fear cancer? Well, do you have fear? Is fear on you?
Yeah.
Do you fear these things? Because people wonder about, you know, well, I wonder if it's going to happen. You know what? I got nothing to worry about.
Amen.
You know, Lazarus was in the grave 3 days and God brought him out of the ground. If I end up with cancer or some other thing like that, you know what? God's more than able to meet me because you know what? I ain't in the ground yet.
Right. Amen.
You know, that's what the Lord told me that day when I was riding in the pickup truck and I was praying for Brother Dick when he had prostate cancer. You know, I was so burdened about Brother Dick. I was praying. I was riding down the road. You know what? And the Lord told me, he said, you know, Lazarus was in the grave 3 days and brought him out of the ground. He said, you know what? Brother Dick's not that far along.
Right.
You know, I thought, well, praise the Lord. You know what? I like that. You know, I just perked me up. You know what? Because, you know, we look at things so bad. You know, like Brother Ernie always tells us, you know, we try to pay the toll twice because we're trying to pay a toll on something. We ain't ever got there yet. You know, you worry about crossing the bridge when you get there. You know, people, you know, just like anytime you have some little twinge or some little ache or pain or everything like that, well, you better watch that. That's a heart attack. That's an aneurysm.
Yeah.
Whatever it is, you know, the devil's come along and try to take everything in the book.
Yep, right.
You know that person that you know, they got sick, had a headache one day, and next thing you know, they're dead.
Yeah. Yeah.
And you know, some people live on that.
Yeah. Exactly right.
Boy, I was like, WebMD becomes their friend. Let me look through this list of all of the symptoms that I have.
Yeah.
Well, according to WebMD, I should have died 3 days ago.
Yeah.
But you know what? My Bible says that my God heals all diseases. All afflictions. No matter what it is, you know, because he gives. And you know, the thing is not only does he do it, because he said that he give me the power.
Right.
He give me the power over all the powers of the
right.
enemy.
Right.
So whatever he has that he brings yeah. against me, I'm the one that has to sign for it. And you know what? If I want to come and say, you know what? I'm not going to accept that.
Right.
I'm not accepting that. Whatever it is, you know, I don't have to accept those things. And you know, the first thing you do is you got to come to a place where you accept that and you got to confess that. Then the next thing you know, when your temper raises up, which you're not supposed to have,
yeah.
or whatever comes along, then you know what? Then you say, that's contrary to the word and I don't have that.
Yeah.
Then you gotta pray, Lord, help me get through this, cause you know what? I don't have the strength to get through this.
Right.
And sometimes we know what's going to happen before it happens because sometimes situations arise and you know what? We know what's going to happen before we get there.
Yeah.
And you know what? And some people, you know, they don't pray before they get there and I don't pray before I get there sometimes and things happen and you know what? We get bent out of shape.
Yeah.
And it's, you know, if we were to pray through ahead of time, Lord, help me get through that. I don't know what to say, but don't let me say anything
that's
going to be contrary to the word.
Right.
Don't let me say anything that's going to be a hindrance.
Amen.
If we could say that, you know, the Lord can come on the scene and move.
Right.
But you know, we have to be able to lean on Him, rely on Him. Lord, let us come and get what we have need of. Help us, Lord.
Amen. Right.
Because you know he's given you the power. You know all the things that's happened in your life, all of the powers of the enemy, whatever he's done. You know he give you the power to overcome
Amen.
That.
Absolutely.
And then you know what the thing is you've got to be the one to come and claim victory over
right.
that. It's got to be you taking victory over him. Because if we don't, you know, then we just allow him to have the victory. We need to be, and you know, whatever you have need of. You know, many people, you know, I'm convinced, you know, just like Brother Ram said, there's so many people, the problem is they've gotten to the point where they think they're okay. You know, and the problem is, you know, there's so many people that they don't have the new birth. They're not born again.
Right.
You know, there's so many people that, you know, it's just, well, I believe the prophet's message.
Oh,
you know, I do this and I do that. Well, you know what? You know, if you've not had a definite experience in justification,
right.
sanctification,
right.
and the baptism of the Holy Ghost. And you know the thing is, Brother Aaron said, you can have a definite experience in that.
Yeah. Yes.
And everybody's like, you know, everybody's, well, you know, it's all about, we're going to speak in tongues, so we're going to run the aisle. And, you know, people come out of Pentecost, well, you know, it ain't speaking in tongues.
No. Yeah.
But you know what? That just blows their experience out of the water.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's like, well, I don't know what my experience is. Because you know what? Because I know it ain't speaking in tongues.
Right.
Because, you know, I've seen people come to the altar and, you know, they get slain in the spirit and fall all over the place and, you know, run the aisles and do all kinds of things and great things happen to them.
Yeah.
And you know what? The next thing you know, they get up, could fight a buzzsaw. And the next thing you know, they denied that Brother Branham was a prophet.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Claim to believe this message and then they walk out on it and say, Brother Branham's false.
Yeah.
And the next thing you know, people run around and women sleeping with other women's husbands.
Yeah. Yeah.
And what's so funny is because, you know, when, you know, years ago, they wouldn't even dare think of that. And now they think it's okay.
Yeah.
Why? Because it's the spirit of the age that we live in. Everything's okay. Just do what you want to. That's the reason I get so tired of hearing people say, well, God knows my heart. You know, well, I just love the Lord. You know, it's just what I feel down on the inside. Well, the problem is God knows your heart. But you know, the problem is people's had their conscience seared. Why? Because God's tried to deal with people and tried to point them in the right direction. But you know what? They just done whatever they want to.
That's right. Amen.
The problem is, you know, the world's full of religious demons. You know, that's what makes up message churches. People don't want to believe that, but you know what? It's religious spirits. Got people that do you know, that would stab you, steal you blind, do all kinds of stuff, and believe Brother Branham to be a prophet. There's people, if you cross them, if they had half a chance, they'd take you out back and they'd beat you bloody. And they go, well, I believe Brother Branham to be a prophet. You know, I'd be ashamed to stand up. I'd be like Brother Billy Paul said that time when he was down there in the pool hall. And they said, hey, this is Reverend Branham's boy. And that guy come up, you Reverend Branham's boy down here in the pool hall, shooting pool, hanging out with all these ungodly people down here. And he said, no, sir. He said, Reverend Branham wouldn't have a son like me. You know, I'd be ashamed to go around and talk to some people because, you know, and you try to live that kind of life.
Yeah.
You know, the thing is people, you know, and people wonder why the churches are in the condition they're in. Why? Because this is what was supposed to take place.
Right. Amen.
What did Brother Branham say? He said, those fallen angels that came, he said, what do? They come to the message.
Yeah.
He said, fallen angels where? He said, Luther. What was in Luther's day?
Yeah.
The fallen angels. Wesley. The Pentecost. It was all messed up. Why? Because those fallen angels came in. Why? Because they had to come in and combat and fight against the Spirit of God that was moving.
Right.
Why? Because he brought that Spirit in to rebel against them.
Amen.
Well, what came in our day? What is in our day? Why? Because it's the same Spirit.
Amen.
He's come to fight against you. And you know, and not only that, we got people in this message, they wouldn't hurt a fly. They're just good moral people. Man, they're wonderful. But you know, the problem is you can't get them to see that they're not born again.
That's right. Amen.
They live a good justified life, a good sanctified life, but you know what? They ain't born again.
Amen.
They ain't born again. But you know what? They live a great moral life.
Sure.
You can't put a finger on their life.
Right, sure.
And you know what? And those people, oh, I believe Brother Branham, I love all that he loved and all that loved him, be there.
Yeah.
Well, you know what? That's a wonderful statement. And it's what Brother Branham said. It's what the angel of the Lord told him. But you know what? It didn't change the fact that you've got to be born
Amen.
Again.
Right. Amen. That's right.
And you know what? Sometimes I think, you know, years ago, people used to have meetings. Even Brother Branham talked about in the message, why is this the Holy, you know, what was the Holy Ghost given for? What is the Holy Ghost? You know, he said, we're opening the tabernacle. He said, if y'all want to come during this time and pray for people that are sick in the Holy Ghost. Nowadays, if you talk about sick in the Holy Ghost in the message, they want to kick you out.
Yeah, that's right.
If you get up and say, well, you know what? It takes three processes. There's three steps of grace that it takes to get born again. It's justification, sanctification, and the baptism of the Holy Ghost. And some people want to throw you out.
Yeah,
no,
that's right. Yeah, sure.
How in the world can you preach those three? Brother Branham said it was.
Amen. Right.
All the way up until, I think it was November of 1965, or October of 65, the last time Brother Branham talks about it.
Yeah,
right. It's like, oh, well, he changed it after the seals. Well, he didn't change it in my message.
Oh, yeah. Right. Amen.
Can't change the Bible.
Right.
But you know, the thing is people want to throw you out. Well, you know, it's just receiving the Holy Ghost.
Yeah.
Well, you know, the problem is a lot of people have received the Holy Ghost.
Oh, yeah. Right.
They've got an anointing. They've got anointed. But you know what? Those spirits are still there. Those same religious spirits are still there, still binding the people. But it takes the Holy Ghost. It takes a dying out. It takes, well, because, you know, a lot of people, they've gotten away from that. You know, we don't need laying before God. But I think it was Brother Dale talking about, was it Buddy Robinson? He was talking about the other day, you know, he got down in the cornfield or whatever. He said, Lord, I'm going to be right here till I get the Holy Ghost.
I'll
be right here. Be a back of bones. It's going to be right here. Why? Because people don't get that serious with God. People don't want to get to that place. You know, there was a man one time, he told me that, he said, I got down and he said, you know, I'm just going to stay at home and I'm going to pray. And he said, I'm not going to do nothing. Not going to eat or do nothing. He said, until the Lord comes speak to me. Lord, I want the Holy Ghost. I want to know what the new birth is. I want it so bad. He said, I'm going to stay right here till I got it. He said, I ain't going to sleep. I ain't going to do it. And you know what? The Lord come and spoke to him.
Sure.
He said, the Lord come to him. You know why? Because he got serious.
Sure, amen.
Right.
You know, many times we get wrapped up in so many other things, but you know, we got to get to the place where we sell everything out. We don't worry about nothing else is an importance in our life until we hear from God. And then if we can get to that place, then you know what? Then we can hear from God. Then he can come on the scene. But you know, that's what it takes. It takes the Holy Ghost. Because you know, Jesus said, in that day people will come to me and say, Lord, Lord, didn't we cast out devils in your name? Didn't we do all these great, wonderful, mighty things in your name? And he said, depart from me because I didn't know you. You know what? You can be anointed of the Holy Ghost and do great things, but you know what? That ain't the new birth. That ain't where you need to be. But you know, some people, they've gotten to the place where you know, they've got it all figured out in their mind. And if you try, even when the Holy Ghost comes and tries to deal with them, you know what?
Yeah.
They've already been sealed off. They've already been seared. They're conscious that God can't even speak to them anymore.
Right.
And the thing is have we got to that exact same place where God can speak to us?
Yeah.
You know, and find out exactly where we are.
Amen.
And it takes going beyond just the new birth. But you know, because there's higher heights in God besides getting past the new birth. But you know what? If you hadn't got that far, then that's where you need to be.
Right.
Because you know what the thing is if you have the new birth inside of you, then the Spirit of truth comes and he said he will lead you and guide you into all truth. He's going to bring you to all truth. And you know what the thing is the one thing is whatever Satan says is not the truth.
Amen.
You know, the thing is just like Brother Bram said, you know, the Holy Ghost is a gentleman. He is that dove. He's a dove. And he comes and he lands on you. But he said, you've got to have the right nature. The lamb only comes, I'm sorry, the dove only comes to the lamb. He said, if we don't have a lamb nature, then the dove's not coming. He said, when we get beyond that, he said, then he flies away and he waits for us to get back to that lamb nature. He said, so the Holy Ghost can come back. And see, the thing is we need to, just like he said, you got to be sensitive to the Holy Ghost because he said, he is a gentleman. And see, the thing is do we get so sensitive in our spiritual walk that we know what's going to take place? Can we just, because sometimes we get so desensitized to things in life that we miss what God is trying to tell us.
Right.
And if we get to that place, see, then you can cast the devil out. Why? Because he's got no place to stay. You know, like I was telling about having the prayer lines. You know, people say, well, you know, they want to have a prayer line and they want to cast out devils. You know, the thing is that you don't cast them out. The people do. There's no preacher going to cast them out. The preacher can come and pray for you and the Spirit of the Lord can come down so you can cast him out. You've got to be the one that does it. And you come and they can pray and the Spirit of God, because everybody binds together, that you can cast him out. You've got to be the one to speak the word for him to leave. See, there's no one person that, you know, that, well, I gotta wait for Brother Dale to pray, and then when Brother Dale speaks the word, then the devil's gonna leave me. Well, you know what? The devil's gonna stay right there. Because you've got to be the one. You've got to speak it. Because just like he was talking about the people in, you know, the man that fell over his feet, you know, that had that spirit, you know, that spirit never would leave him. He was so bound to that thing. He was so connected to that thing. He couldn't get rid of it.
Right.
But that's the same thing with you and I. We've got to get to the point where we can get, you know, let the Holy Spirit come.
Amen.
Whatever you're fighting, whatever you're battling, the thing is He's here to meet your need.
Amen.
He's here to show you that you are equipped.
Amen.
For us, because you know, the thing is like you said, we got to have faith to operate that power. The power is given to us. That we have, the power is ours. The thing is you gotta have the faith to operate it, to believe, to make it work. You love the Lord tonight?
Amen.
God bless you tonight. Let's all stand. Amen. Just got to stand fortified behind the word.
Glory.
The word has been given to us.
Right.
God's called us to this place. The thing is now we got to stand there.
Yeah, right.
Take what God has given to us.
Yeah.
And claim it. God, I want what you have for me. I want to be what you have me to be.
Glory.
But just like Brother Jill always says, you know, you can't talk the devil's language. And you know, you can't dwell on the things that are contrary to the word.
Right.
Because you know, that's what the devil wants you to do.
Oh, yeah. Sure.
You know, people think, you know, certain things happen, you know, just like at work, they've had some changes at work and bosses and all kinds, you know, different things changing. And everybody's like, well, this ain't going to be good. This ain't going to be good. It's terrible. I don't know what I'm going to do. And everybody gets all worked up about all this stuff. It's like, well, you know what? The Lord knew about it before it ever happened.
Right.
And you know what? No matter how much they, you know, they bring my way, you know what? Whatever the devil does, you know, it happens.
Right.
Whether it's good or bad, you know what? I'm just going to praise the Lord and go on.
Right.
But sometimes we get so wrapped up on these things and, you know, you have family members. And you know, whatever it is going on in their life, you'll have family members and, you know, they come along and they've got this problem and that problem and they won't drag you in on it. And, you know, your children and all these type of things, you know, they're there and you know, that's just the way the devil works, that he's going to try to stir things up.
Yes,
but you know, the thing is if we have the token, If the token has been given to us, if we're sealed, then you know what the thing is we can apply the token to them. And you know, the thing is when that token has been applied, then the thing is it's time for us to take our hands off of it.
Amen. Yes, sir.
We just need to leave it alone and let God move. And say, well, you know, Lord, I give it to you. You know what? I'm done. You know, and everything, well, this happens or that happens. You know what? So, Lord, you know, if it's your will and that's what it takes to get them, then just give them a double portion of it.
That's right. Exactly.
And you know, and sometimes that's the hardest thing to do.
Yeah.
But you know, sometimes, you know, that's what God wants us to do, to realize, you know, I'm in control. And if we understand God's in control, then you know what? We can take our hands off it and say, Lord, just move.
That's right.
Yes. Just like that lady it was, Brother Ram talks about, I think it was in letting off the pressure. You're talking about that lady looked so young, had grown sons, and, you know, he couldn't believe she was that old. And she said, well, you know, when I got saved years ago, the Lord said that he'd take care of everything. And so, you know, I realized that if the Lord couldn't take care of it, I certainly couldn't take care of it. So there wasn't no need of me worrying about it. And that's the thing to do. Not worry about it.
That's right, brother. Amen.
But you know what? Don't give a place to the devil.
Right.
Find it wherever it is in the Word, whatever it is, and find your answer. And then you take that and you fortify yourself behind the Word.
Sure, amen.
And let the devil flee, because he said, if you resist the devil, he'll flee from you. Amen. God bless you, brother. Let's sing a song.
All in Him. Amen.
Amen.
The mighty God is Jesus, the Prince of Peace is He. The
everlasting Father, the King eternally, the wonderful in wisdom by
whom all things were made, 251.
Bless you, brother.
Is Jesus is displayed. It's all in Him. It's all in Him.
Godhead is all in Him.
It's all in Him.
Amen.
It's all in Him. The one God is Jesus, and it's all in Him.
Anybody have a need? The altar's open. Come and let's see if He lives.
The Lord of hosts, the omnipresent Spirit that fills the universe.
Do you love Him? You know His word is true, then, isn't it?
The lamb for sin is slain, the author of redemption, and glory to His name. It's all in Him. It's all in Him. The fullness of the Godhead is all in Him. It's all in Him.
How about it? You have a need?
It's all in Him. The mighty God is Jesus, and it's all in Him. The Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. The living Word incarnate, the helpless sinner's friend. The wisdom and perfection,
you love His word.
Righteousness and power.
Isn't He wonderful?
All we need in Jesus, we find this very hour.
All of the time that He's given us. To serve Him. To have a wonderful time. As His children.
It's all in Him.
It's all in Him.
It's not God, it's Jesus, and it's all in Him. On God for whom we've waited.
It's
been by every frame of Israel recreated. When Jesus comes again.
Just think about it. He's given the power to the church. Right? We don't have any power. He gave it to us. But He gives us the power to cast out devils, to do all things. Why? Because we're part of Him.
It's all in Him. The mighty God is Jesus, and it's all.
Amen. You love Him. Let's give our brother a good hand. Amen. Make sure you tell him how much we appreciate it. Appreciate the message he brought, because we believe it.
Amen.
He has given us all things.
Amen.
Whatever we have need of.
Yes.
He's given it to us.
Amen.
Isn't that something? All we got to do is just accept it. Well, brother, I don't know how to do it. If I would stand up in front of you and give you, say, I got a $100 bill here. Anybody want this $100 bill? Well, you know what? All you got to do is accept it. You'd know in a hurry what to do there, wouldn't you?
Yeah.
You just accept it. What do you do with God? Just accept what he says.
Amen.
And say thank you.
Amen.
And believe it. And continue on, right? Man, brother, you got another last thing.
Jesus, hold my hand. 228. As I travel through this pilgrim land, there is a friend who walks with me. Leads me safely through the safety
sand.
It is the Christ of Calvary. This would be my very Lord.
Just think about it. Think about what he's given for you and to you and I. Look where he's brought us. Jesus, hold my hand. I need thee every hour. What God has given to you and I, an opportunity to walk in his word, an opportunity to understand, see the hour that we're living. Blessed Jesus, just shake hands with one another and sing that to one another. Just remember now, Bible study Saturday, 6 o'clock. Tell our brother how much you appreciate it, and we believe the word. And you're dismissed.